A lot of episodes, dude. That's 114 hours of talking.
If you include that 2016 episode, that's like 116 hours of episodes. It's a lot of stuff. It is December 17th.
Just real quick, congrats to, he caught me totally off guard, but to Jacob Schaefer.
Bro.
How you like him? Getting married on us, dude.
What the hell?
I know.
Like, I assume...
I had to learn from Bob Camacho, of all people.
I assumed, I assumed he either had a wife or a girlfriend at home.
I knew he had a girlfriend. I knew he had a girlfriend.
But just be like, what up, y'all? I'm married. Like,
it was funny. Is the week before, he wrote to me and said, hey, I need to do an interview with you for the next Eastern Rim. I was like, cool, let's get together soon. And next thing I know, there's a post about him getting married. Congratulations, Jake.
Very much congratulations, man.
Very happy for you.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. That's awesome. Hope you're having fun on your honeymoon and every day thereafter. It's you look so happy in those pictures, man. And realize you couldn't have invited everybody, but now that we know that it was happening, just know we were all there with you in spirit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That was badass. So. What do you want to get into tonight, Scotty?
It's Christmas time.
I know. I've already bought all the presents for everybody but me. Want to make a Christmas list?
We could do that. This, at the top of the list, I need a new job.
Dear Santa.
This commute's getting to me.
Well, Mr. Gomez, lead us in.
First, the old business.
All right, on this date, 497 BC.
Before Fig Newtons.
Yeah. The first Saturnalia festival in Rome.
What's a Saturnalia?
It is a giant festival that celebrates the god Saturn.
Okay.
In which they sacrifice things to the god Saturn, and then they have a festival of drinking and fun and all kinds of basic ancient Roman things.
Saturn, the god of rings.
That's the man. So, 497 BC, first Saturnalia festival. 546 AD, the Ostrogoths sack Rome. So, they had a good run.
We're here to party.
But hey, if you're going to get your 2,000-year-old culture destroyed by something? Does it have to be Goths? I mean, at the end of the day...
You wouldn't think they'd have the drive to conquer anything.
I just remember that South Park episode where they're like doing Goth dancing. They just kind of stand there and stare at the floor and kind of step to the side.
It was John Mulaney said in one of his concerts, he knows why goth people are just so depressed and frustrated, because every morning they wake up and they're like, I gotta put on all that shit again.
Dude, I wrote this entire blog. It was entitled Too Hot to Goth, because I grew up here. It's freaking 100 degrees on Christmas sometimes. And so, like, growing up, being like, oh man, you know, those guys look cool. You know, with the black hair and the black clothes,
the leather,
and it's like, yeah, fuck that, dude. I can't do that shit. I gotta wear shorts. I'm in shorts like, you know, 360 days a year. And when it finally gets cold enough for me to put on pants, my wife's like, "Man, you look good." I'm like, well,
enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, do what you can.
It's almost crawfish season.
All right, in this date in 1777, France formally recognizes the United States, which kind of, you know, makes you wonder what
you consider it before.
They were looking out across the sea, and they're just like, it's some big vacant space. I don't know.
It's their neighbors, but they're not really the United States.
But no, the French are always trolls, dude. They're just like, Britain's like, we're at war with these people. And France is like,
no, you're not.
I think they're cool. That's France just always going to step in and just throw a wrench in everybody else's rear. All right. Hopefully, by the time this podcast comes out, the fires in California will be at least partially extinguished because yes. Jesus Christ.
What's crazy is they're worried about mudslides at this point because of the rain that's coming in.
It's California is a disaster area right now. It's really, really
it's
bad.
It's horrible, man. There's so many missing. They're saying that there's bodies they may never find.
Because they're ash.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, we joke about California from time to time for being full of hippies and stuff, but at the end of the day, I mean...
Well, you know, like I told you...
When the fire that didn't exist 20 minutes ago runs through an entire town and takes everything to ash, that's no laughing matter. I mean, that's fucked up.
Well, when I was talking to Tom Kennedy last week, you know, I was like, look, I just wanted to check on you, see, you know, if you're okay with the fire and stuff. And he says, well, you guys from Houston, you know the routine with the hurricanes. I said, well, we get warning. We can, you know, move everything upstairs and haul ass and get away from the water. You really can't stop a fire where it wants to go. A fire yeah. does more damage than water. You know, you can clean up after water. You got to rebuild after fire.
Yes. It's rough, man. This date in 1835, the second Great Fire of New York burns 50 acres out of the financial district. Now think about that for a second. Look at all those pictures of New York you've ever seen. It's nothing but concrete and buildings.
Yep.
Imagine 50 acres of that getting scorched. Right. And this date in 1969 and Project Blue Book. The U.S. government officially closes its book on investigating UFOs. It's because it was them the whole time. It's like... I don't even want to get into it. Just like, your dog keeps barking. I'll look into it for you.
I mean, I live by Ellington Field now. And we hear and see shit all the time. I was going home the other day and there was an actual military drone flying around Webster looking at shit. You know, I'm thinking, you know, if that drone had a nuclear warhead on it, we'd be fucked. And there is nothing you could do about it.
Right.
You know,
well, you heard about the congressman. You heard the congressman the other day flapping his gums.
Yeah,
about gun control. So, back and forth discussions. The concept between tyrannical government and Second Amendment rights. The Second Amendment was put in place so that citizens could defend against tyrannical government.
Yeah.
Government representative says,
hey,
you're going to turn in your guns.
Your guns don't matter.
Gun people say, well, you are the reason the Second Amendment was actually put into place, so we're not going to turn on our guns. He's like, but I got nukes.
Yeah, what you going to do against this?
Immediately, you become the reason that whole thing was put into place. He's like, well, if you don't give us our guns, we'll just nuke you. Now you say, yeah, we're going to put a fucking warhead on a drone and just... put it in a circular pattern and you're welcome to come turn in your shit. If we don't get it all, we'll just dirty bomb a town. Yeah, you got some post-apocalyptic bullshit going on right there. I don't think that guy's going to win re-election.
No, he should.
I think he's going to get primaried out.
But you know the attention span of the American public.
Oh, I know. But, you know, it's just crazy if somebody like had the stupidity to come out and be like, I'll just nuke your ass. You give me your gun or I'll nuke you. What?
And not to get into politics too far, but just to show the level of the American voter, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez.
Jesus Christ.
Who doesn't know about the branches of government?
Her.
She's a congresswoman.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't know how the branches of government work.
You know what's the coolest part about her? Is... She's not going after the Republicans. I don't care. Like, I'm an independent. I am not a Republican. I do not give a fuck about two-party politics, any of that stuff. But this is what's funny. Let's say, for example, you're a football team. And so you draft this all-star quarterback. And the idea is that on your team, Team Blue, you've got your all-star quarterback, and his job is now to get the ball, throw the ball, and pass it down the field so that your team wins. What Cortez is doing is walking around hamstringing her entire offensive line because she's like, oh, these Democrats, they're not radical enough. We need to primary them out. She's actively going against her own team. It's hilarious because she's like, I don't even know how the government works. And I'm going to try to primary out all of my allies.
I like the idea.
Dude, that's hilarious.
I like the idea behind Ocasio Cortez. I like the idea of a not, you know, career politician being a... But do they not teach basic civics in school anymore?
Not in New York.
They don't. Well, just an example. There's certain life skills that... I don't know why they've gone away. My daughter wants to learn how to sew so she can make her own costumes for cosplay. I told her, I said, well, take home ec. You're in middle school. Take home... They don't have that shit anymore. Mm-mm. And I'm like, why? You know, why wouldn't you offer that as an elect? Teach kids how to cook.
Yeah,
it's why wouldn't you want to do that?
Because there's no application for it on the TAS test, which gets you the government money.
It's, but that's just dumbfounding to me. You know, kids don't know how to address an envelope.
So my daughter's trying to learn math. She's 8. She's in second grade. So she's trying to learn math. So she comes home and she's like, just basic math. So you got 1 + 2. That's single digit math. Then you got, you know, 22 + 23. That's double digit math. Well, then you get to where you have to start carrying ones and doing. So it's not triple level math, but it's carrying ones. So it's a little, it's one magnitude higher than the most basic. So what you do is you take the numbers, you stack them on top of the numbers, and you borrow one or you carry one, and then you have your number. Well, then she brought home her homework that takes these simple math problems and breaks them out into like horizontal number patterns. And she's already confused as it is. She's like, Dad, can you help me? I don't understand why you have to move this over there. I'm like, okay, fair enough. What the hell is this? I'm like, start trying to figure. It's like, so I had no. And I take the numbers and I write them on top of each other and like carry a one and like give her the answer. And I wrote, this is simple math. Call me. And I sent it back to school and teacher called me. She's like, yeah. I was like, what the fuck? She's already struggling to figure out this it's simple, but it's a complexity on top of something she's already trying to learn. And then there's like this other way to do it. She's like, well, she's going to encounter that on the test. I was like, but the answer's 4.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Like, she's like, please just do what you're doing. I have to teach what I have to teach, but as long as she's getting the answer correct, She can do the algorithmic math on the side and like figure it out on her scratch paper. I'm like, but yeah, let's get off of politics because I will yell about school for all day long. But
just to close out, there's plenty to say about Republicans. Bad about Republicans. There's plenty to say about bad about Democrats. Both sides have fucked up shit going on.
They're bad all over.
We're not picking sides.
No, it's bad all over. The only reason that I mentioned the football thing, she's a Democrat. She's supposed to be their rising star. She gets elected, and she immediately pulls out the sword and starts stabbing the people around her. That got her elected. That's awesome. That's hilarious. And she doesn't know how the government works. And she's a congressman. You can't pay for that kind of entertainment. I know. It's brilliant.
It's like somebody being getting a job in IT and not knowing how Windows works.
Exactly. It takes a lot more smarts to figure out Windows than the government. All right, let's see. 1989. We mentioned 1987 multiple times that The Simpsons came out in 1987.
Yes.
1989, they officially got their first show.
Their actual show. Away from Tracy Ullman.
Uh-huh. So 1989, so this coming year will be 30 years.
Wow. And it's still on the air with new seasons. It's not in syndication. It's actually still on Fox.
Yes.
It's crazy, man.
Okay, notable births on this date in 1930. Bob Guccione. You would know. You wouldn't know him, but you would know his creation. Dear Penthouse.
Yes.
He made Penthouse magazine. Rival to Playboy.
Better letters.
I don't know if Penthouse is even still around anymore.
Oh, I have no idea. I've
been so long since I've seen print porn, it's not even funny. 1945, the fourth Ghostbuster, Ernie Hudson.
Love him. God, he was great. He's great in so many movies.
He was in The Crow.
I used to watch him in Oz all the time. He was awesome in Oz, that series on HBO. Mm-hmm. Ernie Hudson's a great, great actor. And I've heard great things about him as a person, too. So,
1946, Eugene Levy.
Another great one, man.
Dude.
Best in show, baby.
So many.
So does that guy have two left feet? He does. He has two left feet.
1953, Lone Star, Bill Pullman.
Yeah, another great actor.
He was also the president in
Independence Day.
Yep. The president we all wish we had. We ended up with the Orange Man, but...
Well, he was also in Serpent and Rainbow, don't forget.
He was in a lot of good stuff. He's in Spaceballs, Lone Star. He was in...
He's been in a lot of stuff. Bill Pullman's a great actor.
All right, 1974, Sarah Paulson from American Horror Story.
Okay.
And 1975, Mia Jovovich from the Resident Evil series. Actually, my sister had an album that she put out in like the mid-90s. Really good.
Really?
Mia Jovovich, pretty talented. All right, on this date in 2011, we said goodbye to Kim Jong-il. The father of Kim Un. Was hilarious.
Well, I used to love, they had these websites that would be Kim Jong looking at things. And it was just pictures of him looking at shit. And it was, the captions were just killer, dude. It was awesome.
And everybody around him was so serious. He's like, oh, this is interesting. And it was like when his son took over, it was like, is this cake? I'm like, no, this is not cake. But I want it to be cake. Okay, then it's cake.
Kim Jong-il was so full of shit, dude. Some of the stuff he would claim. I think one time he claimed that he played a round of golf and hit like 12 hole-in-ones.
Yeah, and then he retired. Because he didn't want to have to play against anybody. He was just like, I've retired from the game. But that is it for the old business.
Damn.
Pizza Hut, pizza to go. Pizza Hut, pizza to go. Pizza Hut, pizza to go.
Pizza Hut pan pizza is a special way to warm the busy holiday season. So call ahead and we'll have it fresh, hot, and ready to go.
Pizza Hut, pizza to go.
Here we are.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay. So, let's lead off. Let's go to Scotland. Okay, you'll love this story. You'll cringe. I guarantee the story will make you cringe. Okay. 22-year-old man who has not been named for reasons you will see shortly was found fully clothed laying in a pool of blood in his Haddington home in Scotland. Okay. Rushed to the hospital, put him in an induced coma. He finally wakes up. Tells police his English bulldog named Biggie Smalls, named after the rapper, the notorious Big IG, chewed off.
Big IG, I love that.
Jesse Jackson, baby. Jesse. Big IG. Biggie Smalls chewed off his testicles and genitalia after it was covered in peanut butter. Now, what's awesome about the story is now the dog didn't just bite it. He has no more dick and balls.
He just...
They have been eaten by Biggie Smalls.
That was funny. Apparently this story was so embarrassing to this guy, who has not been named, that he initially said, I was passed out drunk, and my roommate put peanut butter on my D&Bs, and my dog chewed everything off. So he risked his roommate being arrested.
Well, why wouldn't you?
To lie, when in actuality, he had slathered his D&Bs in peanut butter and invited Biggie Smalls over to
partake. Sometimes there's consequences for not walking in the conditions, bro.
So Biggie Smalls ate them. It went in his stomach. They will never be reattached. He has a Ken bump.
He's a eunuch.
He has a Ken bump, is what he has. And, yeah, so he's still alive. He hasn't died. The dog, poor Biggie Smalls, has been euthanized, unfortunately. But, yeah.
Poor Biggie. He died from eating peanut butter dog.
Anyway, he was just doing what comes natural to him, you know? Shit. Okay. Wait, let me go to this first. Okay.
Christ, bro.
St. Petersburg, Florida. Yay, we're in Florida. Police were investigating a November 6th break-in at the Chataway restaurant, reviewing surveillance video that showed a burglar devouring a plate of chicken wings and enjoying a beer inside the kitchen. But then the officer, while reviewing videotape, stumbled upon another incident that happened the night before. The video shows a man riding his bike up to the restaurant in the middle of the night. He's riding around the parking lot for about 10 minutes. Then he slips through the back gate, walks around the back of the restaurant for a while, goes into the shed and starts removing all the things out of the shed one by one for no reason. Gets into the restaurant, goes into the bathroom, walks out of the bathroom butt naked. Okay? Sits down at a table and starts eating ramen noodles that he had brought with him. And then left. They never found his clothes. They have no idea. There are pictures of this dude on surveillance video, naked, walking around the restaurant. They have no idea where his clothes went or anything, but he decided to break into the restaurant.
Did they catch the dude?
No, they never did. It happened. They were investigating another crime, and this guy, they just happened to be watching videotape. They're like, wait, what the hell is this? There's a naked dude walking around a restaurant eating ramen noodles. How awesome is that, dude?
Dude, that is great.
And the thing about it is, the restaurant never knew it happened. It happened the night before. They never knew. Some dude that went in the shed, took everything out of the shed, went in the restaurant, ate some ramen noodles. That is just awesome, dude.
That is awesome, dude.
Okay. How much do you love that new car smell? You know that smell that...
Smells like glue and leather.
Well, so many people, one of the reasons they buy a new car is they want that new car smell. Well, Ford has decided we're getting rid of that. Ford is currently in the process of patenting a method to get rid of the new car smell.
Why?
Because apparently...
It's kind of toxic. I will give you that.
It's not toxic, but apparently in China, they hate the new car smell. And in order to sell more vehicles to the Chinese market, they're trying to come up with a way to get rid of that new car smell. A staple. People talk about the new car. You can actually buy. There's actually scents
or odorizer
that say new car to maintain the new car smell. But Ford has decided that it is in their best interest with the market in China to come up with a way to get rid of the new car smell, which, like I said, that's just
it's
one of the reasons you buy a new car.
You can just, like, you can buy a deodorizer and, like, wipe it on your nose, and then it won't smell like new car anymore. Like, the car will smell new, but your nose doesn't pick it up.
Okay. Just go to California for a second. You're going to love this story. The Navy has come out and had to apologize because in Washington State, near the naval station in Whidbey Island in Washington State, two Navy pilots went out and made obscene drawings in the sky while doing exercise.
Again?
Is this the same? This is from November.
This is November.
I know some Navy pilot got kicked out of the... I don't know if he got kicked out, but I know he got really bad in trouble like back in earlier in the year for drawing a big
dick. This actually is. It is that old one. But what's amazing is the drawings are so well done. Considering they were in an airplane, you know, if I was to close my eyes and try to draw this by hand on a piece of paper, I would not be able to do D&Bs that well. But it is an awesome rendering. The Navy has apologized for it, and the two pilots are suspended now.
Congratulated, you're that good of a pilot. Like, who do you want dropping bombs?
Right.
Those guys, they're precise.
Okay, let's go to Florida. Okay. Florida motorist was recently caught drinking and driving. Mr. Ricardo Portillo Gonzalez, age 50, was pulled over after multiple phone calls came in saying, hey, there's some dude driving like an absolute moron over here. We need you to come and check him out. So the police put out an APB looking for his vehicle, try to get this guy stopped. So Mr. Gonzalez was pulled over. They ran a breathalyzer test. Guess what his alcohol content was?
Either all of it or none of it.
Just guess what his alcohol content was for the breathalyzer.
3.
Okay. Legal limit of
course. Well, no, I like 0.3.
Legal limit is 0.08, right? Mr. Gonzalez blew 0.66. Cops looked at the meter and said, this can't be right. This dude has got to be dead. Second blow, 0.64. Wow. The dude was 8 times the legal limit. You're supposed to be dead. And this dude was driving. He basically was embalmed.
That's why he's not driving well. Cut him a break. Let him go home.
So yeah, that just blew my mind. Somebody blew that high of a... Okay, we'll go from Florida. We'll go to Canada now. Okay. Chris Wenzel, 41, from Canada. He passed away recently. And he told his wife, he said, you know, I spent a lot of money on my tattoos. He had a lot of tattoos. You know, a very large percentage of his body was covered in tattoos. He told his wife, when I die, I want you to skin me and display my skin in the tattoo studio for everybody to enjoy my tattoos. And she is currently in the process of having his body skinned and his skin set up to display in the tattoo studio. Mr. Chris Wenzel, 41, from Canada, told his wife Cheryl that he wanted the skin to be removed, preserved, and displayed in his tattoo studio after he died. And it's being done, which is going to be just a very macabre way of celebrating. That's just going to be, that's Ed Gein shit.
So, I don't know if you ever read it. I don't know the name of the story, but Roald Dahl, who wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, The Witches, all of the children's stories, he had a short story, I think it was actually entitled Skin. Very similar story, where basically this dude, he had a tattoo on his back by this artist, and come to find out that this artist has since become a very famous artist. So this dude's picture that's on his back is worth millions of dollars. So people find out that he's got it on his back, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's just like, I think he comes up to this art collector. This art collector offers him all this money. It's like, okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're just going to live on my property. You're just going to have anything you want until you die. And then whenever you die, you can, I can have the skin off your back. He's like, yeah, that works. And then, like, fast forward 3 months later, the skin's on display in the studio because they just killed his ass.
That's rough.
Cut him off of him. But yeah, I've heard that story before. It's pretty rough. You say it's macabre, but yeah, it happens.
But his widow has found a business in the United States that specializes in preserving the tattoos of the dead. So yeah, it's getting done. She's getting it set up, and it will be on display in his tattoo studio. Moving on, where do we want to go next? Let's see. Okay, here's a good one.
school bus stop in Sarasota County, Florida. Brawl between two moms at a school bus stop landed both of them in the hospital. Both moms used pieces of a broken coffee mug as a weapon. What's funny is the bus is there, the kids are watching. These moms get in a fight. One of them cracks the other one over the head with a coffee mug where it breaks. Other one picks up a shard of the coffee mug and stabs the other one in front of the kids, dude.
No, Mom, no!
Yeah, so the second one that did the stabbing said it was in self-defense because the other one hit her over the head with the coffee mug, and there's a...
No, I'm sorry.
What the hell is wrong with people, man? While we're in Florida, how about we do a Greenlee? Will Greenlee, as it was introduced in the last podcast, is a writer for the Off the Beat column in the T.C. Palms paper from Port St. Lucie, Florida. He likes to give a story. He likes to make sure you understand everything. Okay. Port St. Lucie, man accused of hanging out near some dumpsters, had a question for investigators. What was that question? The question in question is, what's in a name? Rather than the internal musing of a graduate student in philosophy, it was a question posed. This is Greenlee's writing. I'm reading it verbatim, okay?
Quote Greenlee.
It was a question posed September 14th to a St. Lucie sheriff's deputy. John Cameron, age 30, made the query after a deputy went to an address on South US 1 regarding a shirtless man hanging out by the dumpsters. It's already getting good. You got a shirtless guy in Florida hanging out by dumpsters.
It's not uncommon.
He was yelling at himself and bothering other customers, it says. The man later identified as Cameron, told deputies he didn't want to be bothered. When asked where he lived, he said, "I live down the road." Another kind of thing that make you wonder, you know, let's be on guard. Hands on tasers at this point.
Right.
When asked for his name, he paused and started walking away. One of the deputies, being a good guy, and this is a good part of the story, told the guy, "Hey, I'll buy you some food and something to drink if you give me your name." The man said his name was Edward Elric. You gotta love coming up with that name. That takes some skill. But research into that turned up nothing. Asked him his name again, and he told him, "What's in a name?" According to the police report.
A hamburger, bro.
Here we go into Greenlee territory. A similar question famously was asked by Juliet Capulet of Romeo Montague in the William Shakespeare play Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet are in love, but they are from warring families. Juliet states, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other word would smell as sweet." Juliet tells Romeo that a name doesn't mean anything. She asks, "What is in a name, noting a rose would smell just as sweet if it were called by something else?" In the end, Romeo and Juliet both die by suicide. An event referenced in Blue Oyster Cult's 1976 song, "Don't Fear the Reaper."
Oh, no. That's awesome.
Dude, Greenlee is the shit, dude. I'm telling you, man. He does not get his just due. I'm thinking about paying for a subscription to this online paper. Seriously, just so I can get my Greenlees, man.
This is brilliant, man.
Meanwhile, deputies determined Cameron's name at the jail. Cameron of Port St. Lucie was arrested on charges of providing a false name to law enforcement and resisting an officer obstructing without violence. Dude, the fact that he threw in the Blue Oyster Cult reference is just awesome. You don't need to just know about Romeo and Juliet.
Now you gotta know about BOC.
That scene was referenced in a BOC song.
Okay, dude, I am a super fan now. This is brilliant.
Dude, Greenlee is the shit, I'm telling you, man. Okay. A couple of quick bits. We're in Florida. A 22-year-old man.
Oh, geez. Greenlee's a Florida man, too.
Yes. So you know he has plenty of material to play with. Florida man was arrested, 22-year-old Haywood. St. Petersburg, Florida. Cops were called in, asked the man what his name. He told the cops, "My name is Bendover."
Florida Man. It probably wasn't his name.
No, it wasn't.
Imagine if that was your name. Imagine there's some, I'm sure there's a lot of them. There are a bunch of people walking around the planet. Their name is fucking Benjamin Dover. They're just like, I'm just going to go by my middle name. I'm Joe.
Okay, you're working at McDonald's. There's not a lot of perks. You know, you're making minimum wage. You're having to deal with a bunch of stupid shit. One of the perks is the food. You get to eat. Bluffton, South Carolina. McDonald's manager Tequila Cohen asked cook Josefina Jimenez to stop eating bacon while she was working in the kitchen. All right.
Don't ever ask a woman named Jimenez to not eat bacon.
But you got to realize the woman that was saying it, her name was Tequila.
Fair enough.
Jimenez continued consuming the pork delicacy. And she lodged a complaint against her boss to the general manager. As detailed in the sheriff's report, Jimenez became angry when Cohen escalated the November 9th bacon beef, and the employee allegedly backed Cohen into a corner and tried force-feeding her the hot, crispy bacon. It's according to the police report. They actually wrote, the hot, crispy bacon. Investigators charged that when Cohen sought to push away from Jimenez, the employee, still grasping the bacon, struck Cohen in the face. And she also allegedly tossed a cup of unknown substance at her. Women were separated by a third party, and Cohen called 911, leading to the arrest of Jimenez.
That's awesome. This is so good.
You don't get much. Let her eat some bacon.
I mean, come on.
You know, who's that hurting?
Especially McDonald's bacon. It's not even real bacon.
It's microwave bacon. It's that stupid shit, you know? It's the stuff you buy where it's like really lightweight. It's supposed to be equivalent to a pound of bacon, but it weighs like 2 ounces.
Right.
But that's enough.
Oh, God, dude. That was too much. I think if the balanceometer is working properly, that was too much business.
You know what you got to close the show out with, right?
Of course.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Don't fear the Reaper. That's the end of the show.
Greenlee is awesome, dude. Some of the shit he comes up with.
Oh, damn. Okay, we're taking a break.
We thank you one and all and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A. But a team of terrorists.
You want money? What kind of terrorists are you?
Who said we were terrorists?
Have their own holiday plans.
And I'm telling you, you're just gonna have to kill me.
Okay.
We do it the hard way.
But the one thing they didn't plan on was New York cop John McClane.
Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
And you'll have it.
They have already killed one hostage.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordered a pizza?
Come to Papa, honey.
Are you really an American?
Only if New Jersey counts.
What does he think he's doing?
His job.
There isn't artillery on us.
You idiot. The police.
It's him.
He's an easy guy to like.
Welcome to the party, pal.
And a hard man to kill. Bruce Willis. Die Hard.
So what's on your Christmas list, man?
The main thing that I've been looking for, it just got released. Which isn't this taping, but it's been released for a few weeks once this drops, is I got to catch up on Preacher Season 3. And that DVD set has just been released. So that's one thing for sure that is on high up on my wish list right now.
So you got 1 and 2 already?
Yeah, I got 1 and 2 already. So I just need 3 to go ahead and binge watch that. I love Preacher, dude. That is just such a well-written show.
I know we're talking about shows, when the movie comes out, or when the DVD comes out, I'll certainly get the series. I want the Hill House.
Good stuff.
I want the book. I want the TV show. I want the mansion. I don't necessarily want to curse myself. I think if I keep my kids out of it, then I can probably be pretty safe.
But just to check it out.
But man, the house in Hill House is pretty awesome. You know, from being a collector, from being somebody like you and I went through those pictures that you found in that suitcase that you got at an estate sale. We're flipping through those pictures from the 40s and just the looks of the people. Like, man, this kid was a baby in like whatever it was, 48. It's like my dad was born in 48.
Right.
So this guy's my dad's age. In Hill House, so many of the scenes that really affected me outside of the personal drama that was going on was so much of the history of the house. You know, it's like they're digging into the walls because something broke.
Even all those furniture they found, all the old the statues and everything that were there, it's a pretty incredible thing.
And you don't see that often. It's weird because apparently that used to be relatively common, is that you just buy a house and there's like
everything was there.
All the old shit was still there. Right. They just walked away or they died or something. Not much you see anymore because
estate sales and everything else.
They liquidate it, but I would love to come across a property of that magnitude and just explore it. That would be a big Christmas for me. We talked a couple weeks ago on the old business, how that was when they stumbled into Tutankhamun's tomb after 3,000 years. They were the first people to walk into that room in 3,000 years. And how incredible that was. Like, that was their entire culture. It was all of their stuff. And it was just sealed away behind closed doors for that long and lost.
Well, just to be able to find some hidden treasures like that. You know, me and Andy Gonzalez went down for James Vaughn's funeral in McAllen, Texas. On the way back, you know, we're driving through all these backcountry roads and everything. And I was like, you realize that all these farmhouses out here and all these old houses that have been around here forever, there may be an Amazing Fantasy 15 in one of these attics somewhere.
I'm sure there are.
You know, it's just to find some treasures like that would just, that would make my day.
And they put it on a show like American Pickers. Where they're driving around. They're like, just look for junking yards and pull over.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they pull into a lot of junky yards that had nothing in them.
But there's those times that 3% of the time where you actually find something.
Like, and I don't know much about motorcycles, but I remember that one where they just like found an old motor and he's like, this is... He knew it. He knew the make, he knew the model, he knew the year, he knew the rarity of it. He's like, this is a $5,000 motor. And it didn't work. And it was rusted over and covered in vines. He's like, this is a $5,000 motor. I'll give him like a few hundred bucks. But that kind of stuff where it's just like, oh my God, you found an artifact. That would be something that I would... That's kind of where between writing stories and then uncovering old stories, that's kind of where I would really like to be.
Just holding history in your hand. And I love that stuff, man. That's why one of the reasons I love estate sales so much is that you can find those hidden treasures every once in a while.
I still have that can of gunpowder. I'll show it to you whenever we go off. It's pretty badass that it still holds gunpowder after this long. All right. One thing that I would like to find in my stocking, it's out of print. It's hard to find. And I haven't seen it for freaking ever, but Near Dark.
Yeah.
That's a hard movie to find.
Yeah, that one, you know what? It's another one. It's a great movie. Another one that I've been looking for forever. And it kills me because there's another movie with the same name that, you know, I'll be at Goodwill going through the DVDs or the VHS tapes and I'll see No Way Out. And I pull it up and it's a Britney Spears movie or some shit like that. But the No Way Out with Ray Liotta. You remember this movie?
Mm-hmm.
He's on a prison island. He gets dropped there. And it's like Lord of the Flies, but an adult version of it. Because there's like one faction of people on this prison island that they have a society. They try to they're trying to survive and try to help each other out. Then on the other side of the island, there's the faction of the anarchists that want to take over their place. But that, I remember the first time I saw that movie, that's my first introduction of Ray Liotta. And he's just incredible in that movie. And I want to find that. I can't find it anywhere. I've been looking and looking. You know, I look for movies all the time.
I don't want to jinx it. And I wrote myself a note because I saw it today.
Really? Now, like I said, there's a No Way Out that is not Ray Liotta.
No, it had Ray Liotta on it. I'll see if I can find it for you tomorrow.
Okay. I've been looking for that
movie. That's on your Christmas list? I think I found it.
I've been looking for that movie for a long time. I don't expect to find a DVD. I'm looking for the VHS. But that one, they don't make that anymore. It's like the movie got forgotten about. It's the weirdest shit.
Yeah, I'll go look and see if I can dig it up because I think I saw it today.
Okay.
I remember being like looking at it and it had his face like in shadow with white.
Uh-huh.
I was like, you know, because I'm always looking for old horror movies. It wasn't on my radar.
Right.
But
Now, Near Dark is a great movie. And I remember Andy was talking the other day about movies that involve Lance Henriksen and Bill Paxton and certain actors that spread across genres. Like Lance Henriksen and Bill Paxton were in movies from the Aliens movies, from just so many different series. And I was like, don't forget about Near Dark. They were both in that one too.
The weird thing about Near Dark is it's forgotten.
Yeah.
It wasn't, because it came out in 87 as well. It wasn't Lost Boys, like, teen glitz. Near Dark was a brutal movie. I mean, it's kind of in that, as far as, like, visceral horror, it's kind of in that Texas Chainsaw Massacre sort of. It's not a nice movie. It's not a feel-good movie. There's no good heroes. There's no, I mean, all of the villains are gross.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like 30 Days of Night. There's no way out of this. It sucks. But it's such a great movie.
It is a good one.
But after like Titanic and Twister and Aliens, Bill Paxton, they're not going to repackage Near Dark.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want you to see him being like this crazy bloody psycho cutting people up for fun sort of thing, you know? So, but yeah, I would like to have Near Dark, preferably on VHS. If I can find it on DVD, that would be awesome.
Yeah, Lance Henriksen signed one for Miss Jackie whenever he was in town for Comic Palooza. Gave a little description for it and everything. It's a good one. Definitely. He told me, he said, I've never seen this version of the DVD before. It was this collector's edition DVD that she had. She's got some good shit. She's got some really good stuff, man.
You said you're looking for
a
Christmas ornament?
Oh, yeah, it's true. Every year, our friend Tom Martino, the great mask maker from DWMProductions.net, he makes a particular Christmas ornament to sell for that year. This year, he's made a Fluffy. As he put it, it's an Italian ripoff from a movie, a Fluffy from Creepshow. And that's a badass Christmas ornament, dude.
I
want to pick one of those. And if you're interested in looking at one of these Fluffy ornaments, head on down to DWMProductions.net and pick up a mask, some cool custom designed mask or props, and also the Fluffy Christmas ornament that he currently has for sale.
So I follow a mask maker. It's a garage project. This dude, he molds the clay, he carves it, makes all of the molds, makes all of the masks, makes the monsters. It's Evil Jay's Creepy Closet. And the stuff that he makes, it's right out of my own head. It's so awesome. He's turned this into it's not even a sideline business anymore, I don't think. I think he does it now full time, just trying to keep up orders. But he makes masks, he makes trick-or-treat bags, he makes full-on prosthetic monsters. He's got this one thing, and it's this one-eyed alien called Ivan. And it's like about a 3.5 to 4 feet tall alien. It's a yellow alien with one giant eye. And it's great because you watch him on his website. He welds the rebar and then casts the mold. Then he brings Ivan up out of the mold and he trims the latex. Then he airbrushes and paints this thing. And when it's done, it is the coolest thing in the world. And it's like, oh, okay. Then he puts a ray gun and a cape on it. It's the coolest thing in the world. And it's like $400. And you're like, $400? That's not much. $400 is a shitload whenever you're me and I'm buying shit for like $8.
Goodwill, right? Right?
$400 is a lot. And I think the cape and the gun model is like $600. But I would like to have one of Evil J's Ivans. They're fucking brilliant. And most of the other stuff he does is pretty freaking cool, too. And you said Tom has the Christmas ornament, the fluffy. This year, Evil J has the Christmas pickle. He's got an angry Christmas pickle. We talked last year about the crazy stuff. He's got an angry Christmas pickle. So I'm going to order one of those, and it'll just remind me that I need to buy an Ivan. It's pretty cool.
Another one that I wish would happen, it may not happen by Christmas, but hopefully it might happen beginning of next year, is I would love for Lloyd Cryer to announce Malcolm McDowell coming to Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Well, I told you he was there a year before
last. Yeah, but it would be nice to have him. I mean, Savini's there every year. Maybe we can get Malcolm McDowell back because I have a shit ton of stuff for him to sign.
Yeah, he's shorter than I would thought. Of course, everybody's short whenever I see them.
When people get older, they shrink. So he might be just shrinking.
Well, no, I'm just tall. I'm tall as hell. Like when I see people, I'm like, man, they're a little shorter than I thought. I'm like, well, 90% of people are not as tall as me, right. So what do I expect? But no, he was there 2017. And
I didn't go.
Yeah, you didn't make it that one. I think next year you'll be by yourself. You know, I'll send you some stuff to
get what? Jenna Jameson to sign.
How many people do you think? They're just going to, like, walk up and unzip their pants. as a joke.
Right. Well, what's probably going to happen is, which I'm curious to see, is Charisma Carpenter.
No dong cigs. It'll just be like a big sign. It's like...
We know who Charisma Carpenter is. Okay, well, she did Playboy one time. And I remember when she was down for a Comic-Palooza, had this little fall show when she came down for... Like, her autograph's like $40 a piece or something like that. Unless you had her Playboy. That was $120 to get her to sign.
Jesus.
And I have a feeling Jenna's going to do the same thing. If you want one of these things signed, it's going to be premium pricing. But what's funny is, even with that price for the Playboy, there were guys lined up with that Playboy issue for her to sign. She made a killing on that one.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so Malcolm McDowell, I know you're going to do a fine show one way or another, even if you don't announce him, Lloyd, but I'd love to be able to meet Malcolm McDowell.
Okay, have you ever heard of Angel Sword?
No.
Look up Angel Sword. Angel Sword is always at the Texas Renaissance Festival. They have a booth. Angel Sword is a company that... They make historical reproductions of swords, but they make them in tempered steel the way that we would make swords now. Mm-hmm. Except they're extremely high end. We're talking a sword's probably around like $2,000 or $3,000 in this booth at the Ren Faire, and they're there every year. So they sell swords. They sell them to somebody.
Even with all the competition, they're still selling their swords.
I doubt that anybody walks into the Renaissance Festival and walks out with an angel sword.
Right.
But they somehow or another, they stay in business. We're talking like multiple up into the four and five figures for a sword. But they're made and they're crafted in such a way that the attention to detail, you walk up in Ren Faire, you walk up to the guy and you're like, hey, what's this? He'll grab a sword off the wall, any of them. It doesn't matter. He might grab it with his left or his right hand. He'll grab a sword. He'll grab a business card. He'll feather it with like a 3-4 foot long sword. He'll feather it, spin it over, and then shave it like scale a business card. And then he'll, with a mailed glove, he'll put it over his head and he'll bend it in half and then let it come back up. And then it's perfectly tempered. It's not going to break. It'll bend. It'll do anything that you need it to do. But
you're going to pay for it.
You're going to pay for it. And then where can you carry it?
Yeah.
I mean, in Texas now, you can actually do that. You can walk around with a sword on your belt. Nobody, you know, cops aren't going to say nothing. Except you're crazy, so why are you carrying a sword on your belt? But I would like to have one of those. Like, I got swords I bought at Ren Faire, and I'm like, mostly they're for Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving, me and my family get together, and we have a weapons, like, you throw a pumpkin, I'm going to slice it with my samurai sword. Which, pro tip, if somebody throws a pumpkin at you and you hold your sword up and swing, yeah, your sword will cut it right in half. But what it's not going to do is split off like it will in the movies. Instead, you're just going to hit with two pumpkins. You're going to hit with two chunks of pumpkin. And so you're still going to get the pumpkin shit on you. But for some reason, I'd rather do that with like a $5,000 sword than a $100 sword.
Right.
And if I won that Oprah money from the lottery, that's what I would do is buy a sword. Fucking kick-ass sword. What you got?
Well, speaking of swords, one thing I've always wanted, and what's funny is I remember years ago, I lost the link to it, but I need to try to find it, but there was this replica key you could get that was a replica of Lion-O's sword from Thundercats. And I would love, if there's one sword I would love to have, it would be Lion-O's sword with the Thundercat symbol in the helm.
Hell yeah.
That would kick ass, dude.
You like it to turn you into a lion?
Not even that. Just to have it on display. Just to have that sword. Because even with, as much as I loved He-Man, that sword was just, it kicked ass.
The best swords ever were lightsabers.
Well, yeah.
Jesus Christ, you couldn't even train with those. You would never be able to train. You'd just be like, oh, well, you fucked up, so now you're dead. Right? Like, you have to train with wood, then steel, and then everything else. And then whenever you finally turn on a lightsaber,
dead.
Cut off your own head. If you have the ability, like the range of motion, to cut off your own head, that's probably not a good weapon. Alright, let's see. You mentioned something about the Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Last episode, but...
No. You want a new House of Secrets?
Yes, yeah.
Dear Santa, send me a new House of Secrets.
92. I saw, I don't know if you saw, Jacob Schaefer had posted somebody was selling some original art pieces from House of Secrets 92, which that would be a good find. That would be a remarkable find.
See, it's weird, as and since we met over Sandman Comics.
Yeah.
And I used to go to your house and just buy a bunch of random shit because it was cool and I liked it and I wanted to have it for whatever reason. The evolution of my mind. Well, if I'm gonna spend money, I've gone from, okay, well, here's a whole bunch of good deals I found in a dollar box, and I could probably turn those, you know, like those dollar finds, into $5 finds.
Yeah.
So I could spend $20 bucks in a dollar bin, and then make $100 if I sold it all for $5 each, but all of the legwork that would have to go into actually unloading that. So then I went through and I kind of cleared out a bunch of my junk. Then I realized the stuff that I actually want to collect, the stuff that I actually want to have, not collect because of collector value, but just the stuff that I want to have in my room with me to look at and be like, this is fucking awesome. I'm glad I have it. 99% of the comic books are gone. If they're not Bernie Wright's in House of Mysteries, I'm kind of just not there. I don't care. There's a couple artists that if there's something interesting or strange, but everything's gone into pretty much horror memorabilia. Yeah. Signatures. I value that Jason mask so much more.
It's a badass
piece. Than damn near just about anything else. I mean, there's so much that you walk around being like, oh, that would be cool to have. And then whenever you actually stop to think about, do you want it or do you want it because it's a Harley Quinn second appearance? I could give a fuck about that.
Right.
Let those guys chew that thing up. I'll send it out into the world and let them have fun. Be kind of pissed off if I sold that Batman Adventures number 12 for like $4, but
yeah.
Still, what you gonna do?
I saw Miggs Cardenas once again. He has a copy of House Secrets 92 for sale right now that's signed by both Bernie and Lynn, which is a pretty good find.
And what's the price on that one?
$1,000. It's a low grade.
It's a low grade, $1,000.
But you can't get Bernie's signature anymore. You're not going to get Lynn's anytime soon.
I know, but dude, I found those two Swamp Things in the dollar bin with Lynn's signatures,
right?
I mean, I've got a Bernie signatures. I've got Lynn's signatures. They don't. They're not a
House Secrets 92. Right? I got a bunch of Bernie signatures, but.
But do I really? I never got a chance to meet Lynn. Do I really care that his signature's on a book?
I know.
Or is this something that I just want for me?
Right.
And that's where my collection's gone. It's I just want something. I am the collector. I'm the one who's going to spend top dollar at auction. I'm the one who's buying the shit. I'm the one who's determining the value, I guess. Because I'm not buying it, so I don't give a fuck. It's worthless. Right. That's kind of where I'm at. Let's move. You know what's expensive and I want in my collection because it's fucking awesome?
What's that?
A first edition of Salem's Lot.
That'd be a good find. Early Stephen King.
Second book. In my opinion, one of his best. I don't know that he even remembers writing it. Carrie gave him much cocaine. But Salem's Lot was actually written before Carrie. Yeah. He was writing it when Carrie got famous. Because, I mean, of course these things take time. He wrote Carrie. He threw it away. His wife said, no, this is still good. He was writing Salem's Lot. He finished Salem's Lot when Carrie got famous, so he sent Salem's Lot in. Mm-hmm. And then Salem's Lot got picked up and went. The first editions of Salem's Lot are rare and very expensive.
Yeah.
I read that book probably once every couple of years. I used to say once a year, but then I realized that I skipped a couple. So,
speaking of the king, imagine the uproar or the excitement if he would start doing conventions. It would be insane, dude.
If they could get that crotchety old fart down to Frightland, I would fucking...
Think about the guarantees he could command for doing shows.
Jesus Christ. You've seen the old pictures of Stephen King in his like crazy ugly Christmas sweater and like 70s. he's got like a fold out table at some in like basically like yeah some hotel back room smoking cigarettes. Like I think he's signing for Salem's Lot or Carrie or something. They just didn't give a shit that much anymore.
Back then
you
get free Stan Lee signatures back then and whatnot.
Yeah, well, Chris got a few of them back in the 90s, he just showed up to a hotel thing and Stan Lee signed everything for him for right. free. Like, things you can do back
in the day.
All right. I don't know how long this episode has gone. I think we're kind of, with your long middle segment.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It was fun, though.
It's...
Green Lee.
I've got to find a place to find some blood.
I could find you some blood.
I got to find some lamb's blood.
I could find you some... I could promise you, Chinatown, we could find some lamb's blood.
He's like, I could get you a toe. My sweet little daughter wants to boil a lamb in its own blood. That's a recipe she wants to make.
Because she saw it on TV.
Not pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Not oatmeal raisin cookies. A lamb boiled in its own blood. She wants to make that. And I can't find blood anywhere to make that happen for her. So, dear Santa, I need some blood.
Now, just to let you know, you may not want to take her to the markets down in Chinatown.
Because
some of the stuff there, it may be a little bit too much for her.
It's like, call the number. Hey, you got blood? They're like, what? We don't right now. But we will
get by the time. Yeah, we'll get you some.
But yeah, dude, that would be... I'm willing to waste the money on the meat.
Yeah.
Just to see her cook.
Yeah, try it out.
She's 8 years old. She wants to boil a lamb in its own blood. And I'm sure with
you stick with the recipe.
With a little bit of salt, it's probably not that bad. So what else you got going on for Christmas, man? We made it. That's pretty good. That's going
to
keep Santa
busy. I honestly don't have plans yet. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to be doing. I'd like to go back home to Louisiana, but we'll see how that all pans out.
I'm not 100% sure what we're doing either. We're either going to be here, we're going to be there, we're going to be somewhere else. It's always a crapshoot. My wife's family's... Meg's family is funny because... Everybody's getting together over there, except for now we're not talking. So now we're just going to move it down the street. Okay. I haven't even kept up with the gossip this year. I'm just kind of like, well, what are we doing? She's like, well, we got a hotel booked. So, all right. So I guess at least. But nah, it should be good. What's your thoughts on Christmas music? They say this year that Christmas music fucks with your head. Makes you depressed. It doesn't anymore because I've been out of retail for 20 years.
Yeah, I don't get overboard with it. So I can enjoy it whenever I do hear it.
I do know that like they need to take Last Christmas. They need to meter that shit. The George Michael song. Last year they're like, okay, here's the Last Christmas, the Last Christmas drinking game. Try to avoid it. And then post as soon as you hear it, you're out of the game. Awesome. Turn on my car. Done. Like, I was 45 seconds into knowing this thing existed. And I was knocked out of the game. I was like, it feels like World War One over here. And she got smacked and just done.
What do you think about the Grinch That Stole Christmas remake? You excited about that, or...
I don't think I've ever seen anything but the original.
I know. But, yeah, they're doing a remake right now, which I don't think it's necessary. I am happy that the soundtrack is partly done by Tyler, the Creator, who's one of my favorite rappers. But yeah, why touch a classic?
The voice for... the singing voice for the Grinch was the Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
You're a mean one. Tony the Tiger. So they're great. It was the Grinch. It's weird. Whenever we were doing the 87 episode, this is the three
episodes. Three part series.
And I was looking for commercials to play between our segments. There's so many things that don't exist anymore. That I was like, okay, I'm going to push a button on this. Wait. No. maybe people our age that are listening to our show would know. Nobody's going to know that. That's why I put on the thing was the Yugo. Remember the Yugo?
Yeah,
the car?
The Yugo.
That was our featured picture. It was like, the affordable car from Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia doesn't even exist anymore.
Remember, years ago, a friend of mine drove a Yugo, and we were at this daiquiri place back home in New Iberia, and he's parked in this parking lot. Somebody picked his car to break into. And we're out there, and he's like, you know, there's a car fit right there. There's all these. Why don't they break into those? Why? I'm like, because they know you don't have an alarm on that piece of shit. It's a Yugo. They could break into it with a Phillips head screwdriver.
Yeah. The fucked up thing, I remember hatchbacks were the big thing in the 80s.
Yeah, like, I had one.
Everybody had hatchbacks. You're driving around, like, everywhere you look. And I remember, like, you know, like, you see something sometimes, and you're like, I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see, it's like, hatchback. Oh, Chevy Nova. Hatchback. Like, everything's just got the little station wagon.
Yeah.
Back. I do not want a Yugo for Christmas.
It's a golf cart with a body on it, is what it was.
Okay, now I do want a Yugo for Christmas.
Let's drop a 350 sharp block in it and have fun.
My neighbors have golf carts. Oh, what's weird is my neighbors have been in competition with each other for how tricked out they can make the golf carts. Like, hey man, I got this great deal on this golf cart. I got it for like $1,000.
You could have bought a Yugo.
I was like, dude, that's badass. You bought that thing for $1,000. They're like, okay, now we're like 3 months later. Yeah. Well, he just spent $2,500 to make his golf cart the way it looks. And I just bought mine for $3,000. And they look the same. And I'm just like, well, then what the hell, dude? I'm not $3,000 for a freaking golf cart.
You could have bought a car.
To drive from here to the pool, I do not need shiny rims, right? Like, I don't give a fuck. Just a golf cart. Put a surfboard rack on the top. Like, let's. I don't know, dude, but it's amazing the sorts of stuff people get into competition.
Oh, yeah.
I got the best podcast ever, so that's all I care about. Driving down the street in my golf cart and be like, it's the Scared Head podcast.
Get a Scared Head podcast.
I'll let you get home, man. It is time to close the books on that. Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to our Christmas list. We're not shy. If you want to get us any of the stuff that's on the list,
feel free.
Just... yeah, we'll tell you where to send it. Just
drop us a line.
And until then, y'all keep it scary.
Later. Son of the rain.